The Haredi draft debate dates all the way back to 1948 when Ben-Gurion famously visited the home of the Chazon Ish. It continues to be perhaps the most contentious issue in Israeli politics, and of course it's something very close and near and dear to our hearts. Right now, Haredi leaders are facing an extremely difficult decision, and here to discuss all of that is the legendary Yanky Farber of Bechedrei Haredim. Yanky, are you ready to enlist in the IDF right now?
Well, I think I finished my duty in the IDF for good.
Okay.
Because you know I'm getting old. because there's a new generation anyway. I think I'm finished with the IDF. I did enough anyway.
Okay, so tell us. I know you know a lot of the inside scoop, and we're on the brink here of a very big deadline. And there's talk that there's been a shift in Haredi leadership, and specifically that they're ready to possibly make a concession, possibly allow drafting for Haredim who are not learning full time in yeshiva. So is that actually accurate?
It depends who you ask. Basically, there is three rabbis that are actually leading the Haredi community in Eretz Yisrael. We have Reb Moshe Hillel Hirsch, the Rosh Yeshiva of Slabotka. We have Reb Dov Landor, is also Rosh Yeshiva in Slabotka Yeshiva. And then we have Rabbi Meir Tzvi Bergman, he Rosh Yeshiva in Ponovich. And all three together, they basically, they sit down and decide what's going to happen. Now, I know that there is basically machloikes aposkem. They're not really sure how to deal with such a hot potato. But eventually, I believe they will work out a solution between them and come out with something like in the middle. But the thing is, everybody agrees, you know, not to touch the yeshiva bochem, the one who really sit and learn all day. So that nobody talks about it. Even the Israeli government and even the people who demand all Haredim join the IDF, they know very well that the people that you're not allowed to touch or the yeshiva bochem, the real one, you know, the one who sit in yeshiva smir, in Slabotka, in Hebron, or in Or Yisrael, you know, in all these big yeshivas. So Ponovich, of course. So so basically nobody's going to touch them, but the talk is about all the other boys, you know, the one who are not learning. And they are registered as yeshiva bochrem, you know, but they're not really learning. They're working. Some of them are in special yeshivas to keep them off the street, but they're not really off the street. I mean, I see many of them. I don't know by numbers, but as far as we know, the people who are dealing with them, there is thousands of boys between age 16, 17 till 20, 22, 21 that are not learning, and they are they're not so, you know, some of them don't even look Haredim. They dress like non-Haredim. They just have a little kippah, but they're not really Haredim. So I spoke to one of the rabbis in Israel, big rabbi. I prefer not to mention his name. He said to me, the boys that were not learning and they are not going to the IDF, they don't join the IDF, he said, I'm not saying they have a din roidef, you know, the one who actually damage the yeshiva bochem, but these boys must go to the IDF. Because of them, the real bochem cannot stay in yeshiva. Everybody wants them also to join the IDF. And we've got to make sure that all those boys will join the IDF. But the other side, we have other rabbis like, again, Reb Moshe Hillel Hirsch, Reb Dov Landor, and also the Vizhnitzer Rebbe, the Belzer Rebbe. And they say, they didn't say it, but this is what the people talk that are behind the rabbis. And, you know, they usually speak out for the rabbis. They said that if we're going to give permission officially for the boys that are on the street to join the IDF, we're going to have tomorrow or in 2 weeks' time over 5,000 young boys, who they all come from Haredi families, dressed with IDF uniform all over Jewish, all over Haredi neighborhoods in Jerusalem, in Bnei Brak, Beitar, Elad, Kiryat Sefer, you know, all Haredi cities. And then what's going to happen? It's they said that other boys that were in good yeshivas are going to see that, well, there is permission for everybody to join the IDF. He's not learning so much. So they're going to leave yeshiva and also join the IDF. So basically they said thousands of other boys will join the IDF who could stay in yeshiva. But because there is the permission for everyone, so they will join. And this is a very big danger for the Haredi community. They are very worried that, you know, when you go to the IDF, you get different opinions. You start to knowing other communities. You get involved in things that you haven't been got involved before. Even you are Haredim, you start to knowing the world, as we say. And they're very worried that people will actually, you know, I'm not going to say become secular, no, become chiloinim, but they will maybe change the clothes, change their opinions, and they're very worried about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's a danger. But, no, we all understand the danger. I want to just interject. This is fascinating, and there's a lot to unpack. But this issue you're raising, that the Rabbanim are worried that, yes, maybe it's understandable for the ones who are not learning or the ones who are on the street to join the IDF. Maybe it's even a good thing for them, but that's going to then appeal to others, drag in others who say, oh, wow, that's an option. That's a new issue, right? In other words, 25, 30 years ago, the Gedolim of Shach, their concern was the drafting into the IDF. Their concern was that if you allow the government in, the government's going to, you know, drag all these boys in and force them. Now you're saying that even if it's voluntary, we're concerned that the boys, the Bachrim, are going to voluntarily go and leave yeshiva, right?
Yes, and this is something that you're very worried about. But, and you know, the thing is that till now, everybody knew, okay, you joined the IDF. Well, it's because you couldn't stay in yeshiva. It's because you didn't do well, and you had no choice. And, you know, I was in Netzach Yehuda, you know, the Haredi unit. You know, I saw boys who came from the streets. They didn't keep anything before they joined the IDF. They didn't keep anything, not Shabbos and nothing. And they didn't even dress like Haredi. When they joined the IDF, they were forced to daven Shachris Mincha Maariv. They were forced to keep Shabbos. They were forced to stay every day and listen to a shir, a Torah shir. So why? Because this is part of the unit. So they did it because, you know, they've been forced. But eventually they realize that it's not so bad to daven, it's not so bad to keep Shabbos, it's not so bad to listen to a shir. And eventually they changed. Because in the IDF, obviously, it was done in a very nice way. So people joined, people became much better. So many, many, many Haredi leaders who will not say this in public say that the IDF, all those Haredi units, they helped all those boys on the streets. But again, they are very worried that it would open like a wide door and many, many people will join, boys that could stay in yeshiva. In my opinion, this is what I think, but again, I am das mute, you know. I think I'm the only one who keeps writing about it. There will never, ever be permission, officially permission, from the rabbis, no matter who, to join the IDF. Never. That's my opinion, because I say that to give such a permission, you really need to have, you need to do a massive, massive change in the Haredi community. I don't see it happening because also there is machloikis between the Gedolim. So we don't really know. I don't see how it's going to work. But maybe they will give, you know, permission under the table. I really don't know how it's going to end. But the Haredi community is like, as we say, when you drive, you get to a dead end. You must find yourself a way out. You have to make a U-turn. And if the car is too big, you have to leave the car and start walking back by yourself. This is where I see it. The IDF, the Haredi community, must come to a solution in the next few weeks. Because if not, the government will stop funding yeshivas. Because officially the boys must join the IDF. And if you must join the IDF, it's impossible, according to the law, to give money to a yeshiva that this boy is supposed to go to the IDF. So the government said, you know, if you come with us with a solution, or maybe even start a solution, we will keep founding the yeshivas till June, and then on June, we're going to make sure you have to have there should be a solution. There should be maybe a new law or something. I don't see how it's going to work. I think they're just going to schlep it and another month till something is going to blow up. I really don't know how it's going to end.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a couple of things. Number one, you mentioned the three, Gedolei the Rosh Yeshiva, of course. Now, do you know, you're saying even amongst them, there's a disagreement. Do you know who holds what and which one is the most in favor of possibly sending Haredi Bachrim, non-learning Bachrim to the IDF?
So Reb Dov Lando said many times, whatever Moshe Hillel said, he accepts, and he knows that Moshe Hillel will say the right thing. Reb Meir Tzvi Bergman is a little bit more strict. He's like, okay, maybe we have to let the boys actually join the IDF because we need to make sure that the government will keep founding yeshivas, but we're not going to make it in public. Well, nobody really knows what the agreement is, but basically all three agreed together that the way that it's been done till now, it's impossible for it to be done. It's impossible for it to keep going the same way.
And I want to ask you about that, because that's the reports that I'm seeing, is that they recognize there's some kind of tzorech, not that they're happy about it, but that there needs to be sort of a concession that's really never been made before, where they say, okay, we're allowing quotas to be drafted. So why is that? Is that because of the war? Is that because they've just met the deadline? It's been literally 25, 30 years, the Tal law and so many different things that have been kicked down the road and again. So what is it about now that made this, I guess, major earth-shattering shift?
Well, there is two answers for it. One, the war, as you said. People in Israel keep dying. If it's soldiers, if it's civilians in terror attacks. Yesterday, there was a 50-year-old man. He was actually an IDF guy. He was killed in a terror attack not far from Be'er Sheva. Soldiers keep dying all the time. In the north, Hezbollah keeps shooting nonstop rockets. So this is going to be a long war. And people know that the Israeli society knows that people are actually fighting for their home. You know, in America, you don't have a border. Somebody wants to invent in New York and come and kill everybody in their beds. Here in Israel, Hamas, it used to be like, you know, 300 meter, 500 meter from the house. So people know it's completely different than what happened till now. And another reason is that many people, okay, like Bezalel Smotrich, he's the finance minister now, or Simcha Rotman, and some other Knesset members that were always on the Haredi side, they always said, we are not touching the Haredi community, said, well, our love Haredi families, brothers and sisters, whatever, we need you. We want you to join the IDF. You must join the IDF. So when you have people like Smotrich, who always support the Haredi side, saying, we need you, there is a limit how much we can still keep, you know, working like that, that the Haredim are not joining the IDF. This time, we need you. So when you have people who always supported you, calling you out to join the IDF, everybody understands there must be a change. And more than that, this is the first time since I remember myself, and I'm 44, that actually IDF called out for the Haredim to join. It was the chief of staff, the IDF, it was the minister of defense, it was some other ministers, and you know something? Many lefty leaders, all different leaders from the left, who never ever called out to join the IDF, because then everybody's going to ask, okay, what about the Israeli Arabs? Why are they not going to join? Even everybody knows that it's impossible to, nobody really wants the Israeli Arabs in the IDF, but so they never spoke about it. In the last 2 months, there is non-stop talking about the Haredim to join the IDF, from the left, from the right, from the center, from all over. So basically, the Haredim are under pressure that like they've never been before
Right.
since 1940, since
Unbelievable.
1948.
It's unbelievable how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, a matzah that we've never seen. Now, you made a few points before that are absolutely fascinating that I've never really heard from anyone else. And I think you have a better understanding, insight into this than almost anybody because of who you are and because of, your surroundings. You said that number one, a Rav told you that the Bachrim who are officially in yeshiva, but not really learning in yeshiva, they're actually almost a raidiv, you said they're causing
Yeah,
problems for
you can
everybody
see
else.
them. You can see them. You can see them on a Machne Yehuda market every evening, and especially on Thursday evening. When
Sure.
you go on Thursday evening, like around 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock in the night, Israel time, of course, you see thousands of them walking around doing nothing with a smartphone, and I don't know, with a smartphone, or as we say in America, a cell phone, and they wear jeans. They wear T-shirts. They have a little tiny couple, and you ask yourself, "What? How are they Haredim?" And those boys are in yeshiva,
And why are they
and some
causing
of
so
them are.
many problems? Can you explain that?
As again, I'm saying, most of the Haredim are very worried that if we're gonna let those boys to join officially the IDF, many many other boys from good yeshivas who are not necessarily happy being in yeshiva, but they're there in yeshiva because everybody's in yeshiva. They will leave yeshiva,
But
and
you
they're
said,
very worried about that.
which is fascinating, which is obviously a grave concern. And then, but there's a flip side that you said, which is that some boys will actually be benefiting from going there because they're maybe at risk. And if they go there, that's a sviva where they can maybe be more turned on to Yiddishkeit than they are right now. So there's like literally
Yeah,
both sides of double-edged
and
sword.
I don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows. I'm not sure that the Haredi rabbis, all the Haredi leaders, well, not really. Well, we have to make a they're se no, they're separate. We have the Knesset members, all the Chavri Knesset, like Gafni and Maklev and Eichler, and all those people who represent the Haredim in the Knesset, and we have the rabbis, of course. So the Knesset members, nobody, with all the respect, we have them and we do. Nobody really asks them. Nobody cares what they say. Nobody cares what their opinion, because at the end of the day, they listen to the rabbis. And if the rabbis will tell them, you have to do this, you have to do that, they will do it, even if they don't like it. Now, they don't talk. They don't talk to the media. Every Israeli channel, every Israeli radio station, website wants to speak to the Haredi MKs. They don't talk. None of them, not from Yadut HaTorah, United Torah Judaism, and not from Shas, because they say in private calls, they say, we don't want to make a mistake. We don't want to make all the lefties, all the secular, all the non-Haredim people crazy, because they're very worried that so many of people will just go marching on the streets. And they said it. Many non-Haredi organizations said, we're going to demonstrate. We're going to they literally said, we're going to turn over Israel to make sure that the Haredim will join the IDF. No more money to yeshivas, no more money to schools who don't teach education. It's all those things are finished. Now, the IDF said by itself that they need more soldiers. One second, please. Well, you know something? I'll give you numbers. Everybody knows that it's not a secret. Over 600 IDF soldiers were killed since 7th of October. Probably like 3,200, maybe more, were injured in a way that they will never be able to go back to the UNS to fight again. So you have 4,000 soldiers that will not be able to fight. Some of them were dead, some of them were injured. So obviously they said we need a Haredim. And by numbers, you can easily replace them with all those boys who are not learning in yeshiva or just on the streets. So till now, they could stay on the streets. From now, I don't think it's possible for them to stay on the streets. But in the other hand, I don't see how it's going to happen that all of them are going to join the IDF. I
Now,
really don't know.
yeah. Now, let's say they did agree to some kind of quota and they did agree to the non-learning Bachrim to join. Do they need to actually serve as soldiers? Or I saw reports that they can join Hatzalah, that they can join other units that are non-combat units.
Well, they talk about it, that the boys could choose whoever they want to go, or maybe the IDF will choose whoever they need them. But it's not, yeah, they can maybe join, you know, the police. They don't have to go to the IDF, they can join the police, they can join a community service, they can join, as you said, the Ichud HaTzolot, they can join Mada, they can join Zaka. You know, in America, you have Chesed Shel Emes or Mitzvah. So in Israel, we have Zaka, and they can join. But that's not the big thing about it, because it's not if you go to the IDF or you go to Zaka or Ichud HaTzolot. It's that the government will actually be in charge of all those boys who are on the streets. And if a boy that will say one day will wake up in the morning and say, "I don't want to be in yeshiva, it's too hard for me. Well, let's join the IDF." It will be much easier for him to do it with support of the rabbonim, support of the community, support of the family. This is something that never happened before.
Right.
You know, today when a Haredi boy joins the IDF, he's different than everybody. So people know he's different. But now, if it's going to be a reshus to join the IDF or any other organization, people will say, "Whoa, we are happy with it, and it's normal, it's okay." And this is what the rabbi is very worried about.
Right. I mean, it'll become mainstream, or at least it won't be the stigma that it is. Let's say, let's.
Yes, it won't be the stigma that it is.
Right. You want to keep the stigma. I can totally understand that, even if you personally think somebody belongs there. Let's say the Rabbanim would all, let's say all three Rabbanim would get up and agree and say, we have no choice. Let's just theoretically say, and they would agree to quotas for non-learning Bachurim, putting aside the fears about other people learning. But would there be a concern or revolt? Would there be groups of Haredim in the community who say, no, we cannot accept this, and would have issues with? Even if the Rosh Yeshivas, or if the Rosh Yeshivas say it, do you think it'll be unanimously agreed to?
No, there will definitely be like a group or two that will go against it. Well, there is always, you know, we have in the history, in the Jewish history, there was always a Koirach ve'Adosoi. There were always Doson and Aviram. There were always people who spoke against the rabbis and said that the rabbis are too old. They don't know what they're saying, and people tell them what to say. All those of things. People said it about the Chofetz Chaim. There is a known story that the Chofetz Chaim, when he was very old, people said, well, he doesn't know exactly what's going on around
Yeah.
him, and he spoke against to those people. He said, I know very well what's going on around me. So there will be definitely people that will go against it. If it's the Peleg HaYerushalmi, if it's some other people, but. Nobody really cares about them. They're not big enough. And you know something? The Peleg HaYerushalmi, when they started going against Rabbi Shteinman and some other rabbis, people thought they're going to be big. But you know, every machloikis, that's my opinion, every machloikis that it's not Lashem Shomayim doesn't last. So since Rabbi Shmuel Auerbach, where he was the leader of the Peleg HaYerushalmi, since he was Nifter, the Peleg HaYerushalmi are divided for three, okay? We call them a Peleg Shel Besoich a Peleg. We have one in Ashdod, one in Bnei Brak, one and another group in Jerusalem, in Yerushalayim. And we call them a Peleg Shel Besoich a Peleg Shel Besoich a Peleg because they're like three and they don't get on with each other because their machlokes wasn't the Shem Shomai. And it was funny because like 2 weeks ago, maybe a few days ago, some of the Peleg blocked a
Yeah.
road four in Bnei Brak, and they blocked also the entrance to the route. Jerusalem. So it was so funny to hear that another Peleg group, like from Jerusalem, said, well, it has nothing to do with us. It's the other Peleg. So there will definitely be people that will go against it, but I don't think their opinion will be heard, and nobody really cares what they're going to say.
Right. Okay, now let's talk about the politics, as you mentioned before. What are the chances? Let's say you say that it's not going to happen. You say that there's not going to be a public official agreement where they put their stamp on and they say that quotas are allowed. If that happens, does that mean the yeshivas are in danger? Chas v'shalom, does that mean the coalition falls apart? If you're right, then how's it going to play out?
So what I think is going to play out, they're going to schlep it for another few months. Well, how are they going to do it? It's very easy. They're going to say, okay, you know what? We're coming for a solution. We'll give you 5,000 boys every year. There is plenty of boys who are not in yeshiva. All those boys are going to join the IDF. We're going to force them to join the IDF. So they're going to schlep it till June, April, May, June. Yeah, another 3 months. And in the meantime, we're going to work something out with the non-Haredi parties like Benny Gantz and who else do we have? Gideon Saar and maybe let's. I'm not sure about Yair Lapid. He's in the opposition, but no, nobody really cares what his opinion is, what he says. They will come with with some solution and try to schlep it another few months. But if, let's say, Benny Gantz will demand the Haredim to do more, so maybe they will, leave the government. I don't think so. I don't see it happening because the Haredim will not get better than what they have now, in a different government. So, and also they say that if there will be a new government, who said the Haredim will be in the new government? Maybe it will be a liberal government with 75 Knesset members without the Haredim, and they're going to put every law they want, and the Haredim will be out. So they're going to schlep it for the next few months. This is the real answer, and try to find some solution that everybody should be happy with.
You don't think Benny Gantz is going to make some kind of offer to the Haredim and say, let's make a draft exemption and you come over to my side and form a new
No,
government?
because the people who vote for Benny Gantz, the people who support Benny Gantz, like the people on the street, the secular community, they will go mad with him, and he knows it. And he has a lot of pressure from them not to give up for the Haredi this time. And you know what? If the Haredim will say the people are not learning, join the IDF, tons of them will be very happy to do it. So, and those numbers will be enough, and the Yeshiva Bochem could carry on learning, and the Yeshiva will get founded by the government. Because the thing is, it's so different between America and Israel and Europe. In America, the government doesn't found yeshivas. Unless they have, I'm not talking about yeshiva university, I'm talking proper yeshivas,
Sure.
like they learn Gemara all day and all this. Only in Israel, the government founds yeshivas. So if the government will not fund yeshivas, yeshiva will not be able to stay. And donations and fees that parents pay is not enough. Every yeshiva must have the support of the government. If there's no support of the government, yeshiva will close down.
So you don't think, bottom line, you think, and you say maybe you're Das Yachid, you think that they will be able to basically avoid making any concession, and they'll be able to really avoid any sort of quotas, and they'll, like you said,
Yes.
they'll make promises. That would, Bezer Hashem, that would be the best possible outcome.
I think they're going to schlep it from, I don't know, as much as they can.
As they've been doing
I
for
really
25
don't
years.
think. No, but this time is very hard because this time,
Right.
so far, only the Supreme Court, Bagatz, as we call it here, the Supreme Court, they always said, well, it's not fair. Why are the Haredim not joining the IDF? And why are the only the secular people joining the IDF? What about the Haredim? But there wasn't pressure from the streets. There wasn't pressure from the lefties. There wasn't pressure from the liberal communities. There wasn't pressure from anybody. So they slept it another year, another year, another few months. We'll find this solution, that solution. But now it's not the government. It's not the Supreme Court. It's the streets that demand the Haredim to join the IDF. And
Interesting.
also the IDF itself, as I said, this is the first time since 1948 that the IDF actually comes to the rabbis. They say on TV, like 8 o'clock in the evening, Israel time, this is the strongest time on the news. All TVs and all channels and all websites, they all have their stories, excessive. We cover this, we have this information, that information. They all say, they sit in the studios and they say, Haredi community, we love you. Please join the IDF. We need you. We have not enough soldiers to fight Hezbollah. So the Haredi were like, under pressure and in a situation that they have never ever been before since Israel was established. And there was massive numbers. Do you know how many boys were actually registered? Not boys, also Kollel guys that probably very, old in, too old to join the IDF. But do you know how many people got those permission not to join the IDF because they're officially learning? Almost 70 thousands, and those are numbers that everybody knows. It's officially numbers that the government announced, like 68,000 people. And they say, well, I'm sorry, it's impossible that all of them are learning.
Great points, great points.
So
Yeah, now before I let you go,
I don't know how it's going to end.
I mean, no, nobody does, and it's really very scary. Before I let you go, any other thoughts on this? I have one other separate question, but any other thoughts on this topic first? We've covered it all.
No, I think we covered it all.
Oh yeah. Now, and you'll keep us updated in the coming minutes and coming days and weeks.
Yeah,
Now.
Sunday there is a meeting, and the day after. But let's say if Hezbollah will start a proper war with Israel. So again, there will be changes. There will be much more pressure on the Israelis, you know, on Israel to on the Haredi community to join the IDF. So, but let's say for now, there is enough pressure on the Haredi community from all sides, especially from people who supported the Haredi community all the time and said, let's not touch the boys that are in yeshiva, even the boys that are not learning, because we have enough soldiers. It's okay. We don't need all of them. So let them keep learning. But now people who are very friendly with the Haredi said, I'm sorry. I protected you. I was on your side. I helped you. We finished. Now we needed to join us. So
yeah,
I don't know how it's going to happen.
An unprecedented time, like we've never seen an unprecedented matzav and a difficult matzav. Very fair. On a separate note, I have to ask you before I let you go. Senator Chuck Schumer, of course, made comments, disgraceful comments. He basically equated Bibi Netanyahu and Hamas, said Bibi Netanyahu is an obstacle to peace. The Democrats in general, President Biden has turned on Israel. He's pressuring, putting enormous pressure for them not to invade Rafah. And of course, they need to invade Rafah. That's the only option. So tell us what your thoughts are on what the Israeli opinion is these days of the Democrats.
You know, I think, and everybody says it also here, but what I know from the American politics that the Democrats, they don't know what they're talking about, the Palestinians. They think that most of the Palestinians are nice people and they want to live peacefully with the Israelis, and that if we have to give them a state and all those things. The American government, the Democrats, they have no idea what the Israelis think about the Palestinians. If they would come to Israel, you know, like they spoke, let's Biden, you know, I saw, I think, I don't remember, or maybe of them Politico, maybe New York Times, Washington Post, I don't remember who, that Biden, President Biden, wants to come to Israel and speak with the Israelis behind the back of Netanyahu. He wants to speak in the Knesset and tell the Israelis about the future. He doesn't know that 80% of the Israelis are against the Palestinians or against a Palestinian state. So I'm saying the American government have no, they haven't learned anything in the last 50 years about the Middle East. They haven't learned it. The Republicans do know a bit better. Now, I don't know, maybe if you ask Schumer, Chuck Schumer, like, you know, in Four Eyes, you really think the Palestinians want to join, want peace, and if there will be a Palestinian state and everything will be fine? He'll probably tell you, no, I think they're all bunch of killers and murderers. But he has so much pressure. It's funny, you know, the Haredim have pressure in Israel to join the IDF. The Democrats have pressure in America to stop helping Israel from their people. So I know many, many, many Muslims say
immense
that they're not
going
to vote for Biden. They're not going to vote for Biden because he helps Israel. So Biden is really under pressure from his own people, from his own government, from his own, actually, probably the people who are actually around them all day to stop founding Israel or whatever. So I can understand where it comes from. And Schumer is funny because he knows exactly Israel. He was in Israel when the war started to come to support Israel, and all of a sudden he changed his mind. Probably, you know, as we said, the polls, you know, he knows that they're under danger to lose the government for Donald Trump. So they say whatever they can to try to stop it, but I don't think it's going to help him.
Yeah, the polls, a lot of the donors.
The way he looks now, Donald Trump will win the government.
Okay, let's hope, but we still have a long way to go. Things change.
Yeah, we still have a long way.
But,
yeah, things can
we
change.
Never know what's
going
to happen. But
change.
No, I would agree with you. It's looking much better than anybody ever thought it would a year or two ago. And and Biden being a terrible president hasn't helped them one bit. And it's just amazing. Yeah, we should, and now Biden gives Iran another $10 billion. They announced they're doing the sanction waivers that they're renewing. He keeps giving Iran more and more billions. They're holding American hostages right now. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't understand what this government is doing, really. I mean, they are very, look, they do support Israel, you have to say it. People don't realize they give amount of tons of bombs and weapons and tanks and so, you know how many planes land in Israel every day from the US with weapons and everything? So maybe they're doing it just in the public, you know, to calm down the Arabs. I don't know. But what I, like, bottom line, Democrats, I have no idea about the Middle East. We saw in Biden's time, wars. The Middle East is burning all over. When Trump was president, it was quiet. You didn't hear a noise from North Korea. I mean, maybe a year after. But I mean, in the beginning, you did. You know, they were threatening to kill each other. But after that, Trump realized that he has to be friendly with North Korea. He started being friendly and was quiet. No North Korea threatening, no Middle East threatening, no Ukraine-Russian war, no Chinese-Taiwan, whatever. Since Biden became president, the Middle East is burning and the world is burning.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll leave it there. By the way, I don't know when you sleep because I texted you, it was 1 a.m. your time and you gave me a thumbs up. Maybe you texted in your sleep. And then now it's basically 6:30 in the morning Israel time. Earlier we
it's
started
7
this.
o'clock.
You're amazing.
I sleep on Shabbos, we have Shabbos also, we can sleep.
Yeah, okay, I love you.
No, it's
and
okay.
You're an Erlich,
thank you.
Very, very wonderful, special person. I really, really mean that. And I
thank
appreciate
you.
You sharing all of this. And we'll keep in touch. Yanky Farber, legendary journalist. Bechadrich Haredim on the VIN podcast.